Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football on this week's Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It is presented, as always, by our friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And we welcome in a longtime sportscaster, the one, the only, the legendary, John Telich. JT, how are we doing today, sir?
Doing great, Rocco. A couple of degrees colder here in Northeast Ohio than what the Brownies are dealing with down in Los Angeles, I would imagine.
Yeah, what a time for that West Coast trip for those Brownies, as they're coming off a frustrating loss, to say the least, to the Denver Broncos, 29-12. Russell Wilson and friends getting things done against our Brownies. And taking a quick peek back to that one, JT, I know everybody's getting a little bit of flack from that one, right? Kevin Stefanski under a little bit of fire, especially for the reverse call late in the game, dropped passes, things of that nature. So in your eyes, was it more the game plan where things went south for the Brownies, or was it just kind of the execution of things on the field?
Well, I thought that maybe they would go heavy a little bit more because you can run on Denver. They didn't. And so they didn't run the ball as much as I expected them to do. And then on the other side of the ball, Denver ran spectacularly well. I mean, they had almost 70 yards in the first quarter alone. A lot of those inside traps were working against the Browns defense. So, you know, to answer your question, I expected them to run the ball a little bit more. But an interesting stat, and I'll give our buddy Zach Jackson credit for this, they had a better success rate on series that started with a pass versus series that started with a run.
Wow.
It was like 78% to 40%. So, Kevin did throw the ball more. He had that 11 personnel. He had the three wide receivers quite a bit. But when you have three wide receivers out in routes, when the ball is thrown to them, the conventional strategy when the ball is thrown to them is for them to catch the ball. And that was not really what we saw enough of on Sunday. There were just way too many drops, Rocco.
Yeah, that's a little concerning moving forward, I think, because this even dates back to the Pittsburgh game with David Njoku, and obviously the Browns still had enough to get it done. But, man, I mean, there were a couple of drops in that game, too, where you're thinking, okay, if he just catches those, this game, you know, is put away. And I don't know. I just feel like that's a pretty big growing concern moving forward with a pretty talented wide receiver group.
Yeah, I agree with you to that. And I just think some of them were inopportune, bad timing types of things. Now, there was the one Njoku drop in the end zone that you thought, oh, my goodness, they're never going to recover from it. But they did. They got the touchdown to Harrison Bryant. So, okay, I guess no harm, no foul. And up to that point, you know, he was having a decent game, speaking of Njoku. But other guys were dropping footballs. Like, you know, Moore was dropping a ball. Mm-hmm. Coop dropped a, two-point conversion in the end zone. And so I think I could throw some stats about the amount of drops in the last couple of weeks. I believe it's 9 different occasions where they've had those drops. And when you have a young quarterback who, is just needing every little bit of success in order to boost his confidence and obviously to make the team move, you can't afford to have those drops. And to have 9 in 2 weeks and then not be successful offensively, only scoring 25 total points in 2 games, there's concern there, and I think it all boils down to, Deshaun going out, post-Deshaun Cleveland Browns football. They're 1-1 in that regard, but they certainly are quite deficient on the offensive end.
Well, let's stick with the offense here, and more specifically the quarterback situation, which becomes much more complicated this week. I guess it already was complicated, but just adding two things. DTR obviously dealing with that pretty big nasty hit that he took against Denver. You got Joe Flacco, recently signed to the team, and then you got P.J. Walker. Do you really want to roll him out there, as you were kind of joking to me off air, JT? And look, as we talk here on a Wednesday, we don't know quite yet what Kevin Stefanski is going to do. We may not know until a little while longer, but what do you do this week with that quarterback situation, JT?
Yeah, it really is a dilemma because I don't think, as you mentioned, we're not going to really know, you know, how DTR is doing in the concussion protocol, and they usually don't, bend over backwards to give you that type of information. But with Flacco, you know, how much of the playbook does he really know? Could we have a scenario where DTR fits because of concussion and you have some kind of a hybrid, you know, P.J. Walker for this type of stuff and Flacco for that? I don't know. I think they're at such a critical spot in the season in terms of still knowing there's six games left. If the playoffs were to happen today, obviously they would be in the playoffs. They're a sixth seed, but you get that thinking feeling, and I don't think it's just the national prognosticators, but it's folks that are familiar with the team and have been around them and obviously have watched them. With all the injuries piling up, you often wonder, at least at this juncture, if they've reached that point where, you know, it's the diminishing returns situation comes into play, where there's just too many injuries to overcome and things having to be no margin for error in order to pick up these wins. They've won so many tight games this year, and I think things caught up to them a bit on Sunday against Denver. You know, Denver, here's the curious thing about Denver. They had allowed in the previous four games like almost five and a half yards per carry in those previous four games. Now they had a running Josh Allen to deal with, who adds spice to the Buffalo running attack. There's Patrick Mahomes they faced with the Chiefs. But I just got the feeling that they were going to make this kid beat them with his arm, and there was just not enough passes that were thrown that were caught, and it all kind of boiled down to them just running out of, not necessarily miracles, that's unfair, but just good opportunistic times in a football game in order to have a success this particular week.
Shouldn't that almost add to the defense of Kevin Stefanski? Like you said, I mean, this team's just been decimated by injuries, and yet they sit here at 7-4. I think this is a season where, look, that record could be flip-flopped, right? They could be 4-7, and I think some people would look at that and say, oh, yeah, sure, look at the injuries that have been added up. But they're 7-4, JT. I mean, playoff aspirations and beyond still very much alive, although, again, looking bleaker with injuries, but still very much alive.
I agree with you, and I think, you know, in some instances, there's a couple of plays this year where I think folks that are already against Kevin Stefanski are using these as huge excuses why this guy doesn't deserve to call plays. He's not an NFL head coach. But, you know, he was the NFL coach of the year three seasons ago in 2020. And, yeah, the third down play call in Seattle, you know, you could question that. You definitely could question the little trickeration, if you will, that they did with fresh guys into the game with PJ, you know, basically just getting warmed up and in the lineup there. You could argue about that, but to your point, your football team is 7-4 with so many devastating injuries that they've dealt with, an all-pro tackle, the best running back in football gone, Denzel Ward out a game or two here and there. Your left tackle's been gone. They've had a guy who was signed to the practice squad only 3 weeks ago, is now playing extensive minutes at left tackle for the Browns. So many things have gone with this team, and I think the guy that's coaching the team as a whole to guide them to this point being 7-4, I think if you want him fired, you're barking up the wrong tree, at least this year. Now, obviously, you can go out and fail miserably and lose the team in the next six games. We've seen that play out in Berea over the years in the new era.
Sure.
But I think he's done a pretty good job. So I would cool it with the get rid of Stefanski talk. At least I would.
Again, talking Browns football this morning with John Telich on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. All right, JT, the next hurdle in front of these Brownies, the L.A. Rams, as the Browns will continue their West Coast trip. The Rams, they come in at 5-6. They've won two straight. Matt Stafford, their QB, coming off a dynamite game against the Arizona Cardinals. So what do we make of this Rams team that's been up and down, but certainly they seem explosive at any point?
Yeah, they really have been that way this year, and I think the last two games gives you further an example of, you know, they're capable of playing pretty good football. And, you know, they've got a good running back that not only can tote the football and get extensive yardage, but he's a versatile guy, Williams, and I'm talking. He ran for 143 yards last week, and he also caught four or five passes for another 60 yards. So he's a real versatile guy, certainly an individual to keep your eyes on. So how will the Browns fare after a real devastating, difficult loss on the road in Denver? How will they do with a good week of practice in the warm weather, not having to fly back home and then fly back to Los Angeles, you know, out to the West Coast? How will that affect them? They seem to me to be a resilient, together bunch. So I'm really expecting them to come out and play a good football game on Sunday. And again, that's saying that, knowing that the quarterback situation is still, as we sit here on a Wednesday recording this, is very much up in the air, and we probably won't know many details till later on in the week.
So it'll certainly be interesting how this thing plays out on Sunday. Still a lot of unknowns before this Browns-Rams game, so hopefully we get a few of those, you know, knowns beforehand, you know, hopefully a few more hours in advance than just a couple of hours before the game, as we saw earlier this year. But anyway, I digress. Browns-Rams this Sunday. We'll see if the Browns can get it done. All right, JT, one final time this year. We get to talk some high school football. It is state championship time. Obviously, all of our local teams have bowed out. A big shout-out to the Avon Eagles. Man, I know you were at the game, JT. They put up a heck of a fight against those Hoban Knights and just unfortunately fell short. That obviously sets up Hoban and Maslin for the D2 state title. But obviously, just a fantastic slate across the board.
It really is, and I do want to give Coach Elder and the Avon Eagles kudos, a zillion of them, for what they did on Friday night. I mean, I really thought that they were going to be able to pull this out, but, you know, Hoban is a tested playoff team, and I don't think they took the lead to like 8 or 9 minutes left in the game, and then they were savvy enough to keep play the clock and play the field position, keep it so that Avon was only left with a longish field goal try to tie the game and send it into overtime. So I give them kudos. In Division One, it's a possible three-peat time for the Eds Eagles, and they really look like the dynasty in Division One in recent times. They have a chance once again with a meeting of against Springfield to pick up a third straight D1 state championship. That's Friday night at 7:30. But the Hoban Maslin game, that kicks off the playoff weekend at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium in Canton. And we know the history with those two teams. It was just in 2022 that Hoban beat Maslin in the state semifinal game, which set up Hoban for a chance to win a title, but they lost in the state title game a year ago. So Hoban and Maslin, Thursday night, that's coming up in hours from now, as it were, down at the Hall of Fame Stadium. So that should be an outstanding game. And, you know, Maslin has yet to win a playoff state championship in the state of Ohio. And the playoffs go back all the way to 1972. So this is their year, I think, to get it done. We do not have a Northeast Ohio team in the D3 title game. Chardon was beaten handily by Toledo Central Catholic. They'll play Bishop Watterson Friday night at 3, Friday afternoon at 3. And then Glenville going for a 2 straight against Kettering Altar Saturday, 7:30. Perry against Liberty Center. That one I'm really excited to see what happens Saturday at 3 o'clock. Perry is the D5 team that comes into this thing with the number one ranking in the state, and they are the lone team to beat Kirtland this year, which served as a wake-up call for the Hornets. Kirtland is in the Division 6 title game at 10:30 on Friday, and they have an opportunity to pick up yet another championship in their storied history that they have that's been built by Tiger Liberty.
So there you go. The full slate of state championship games laid out there. And JT, man, I cannot believe you brought up Maslin not winning a actual state championship game. You will have Stark County's finest banging down the doors of WEOL here shortly because of that. So,
but it is, you know, it is true. They won so many championships in the early years, and they've been in some title games, but they just haven't been able to get it done. Winning a title in the playoff era. So this is their chance to erase any of that type of history, Rocco.
Absolutely. So obviously a fantastic weekend of high school football state championships, and then the Browns and the Rams, they'll square off on Sunday. Looking forward to that one as well. So, JT, thank you as always for the time, my friend. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. Enjoy the high school football. Enjoy the Brownies, and we'll break it all down next time.
I look forward to it, Rocco. You guys have a great week.